Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
The technology is really dealing with me. Today is not my day. I'm hoping I can still get... Mom, are you there?
Yes.
Finally, I've got you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Luko. I'm doing well, and how are you?
I'm good, thank you. You know, sometimes they say, abantu be IT, just do trial and error. All they ever do, switch off, restart. They restart and everything starts working. I think I kind of had to tap there this afternoon. And so, like I said, I'm not alone this afternoon. I am, of course, with Mrs. Prisca Moloisi, as well as, I don't know if I should say, Ubabu Kezali. But Kezali Malo. Good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon, Luko, and good afternoon to your listeners.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing fine.
Are you? Thank you for your patience, by the way, because I still had to fight with my technology there, but I got it all sorted. So like I said, we're talking all matters pertaining to mental health this afternoon, and they are coming, and I must say, I told them this off air as well. They're coming from Cullinan Clinics, Cullinan Wellness Hospital, and it was my very first time hearing about it, because the only time I've ever been to Cullinan in my life, we had gone with the municipality, Tshwane Municipality, to some diamond place I did not know existed in South Africa. So you guys are coming from a beautiful place, I must say. That is a beautiful and quiet place I had never known. But welcome. I think let's start here first. We are talking about mental health today. Maybe I think I would not be doing justice to the conversation if I did not say, where exactly is Cullinan? Let's start there. Where is it? Is it part of Pretoria or is it Mpumalanga? I'm asking because there was that argument, ukuthi nigu pika hlehle. Is it Pretoria? Is it Tshwane? Is it Mpumalanga?
Okay, Luko, we are situated at Far Pretoria East.
Okay.
Here in Pretoria. We are at number 1 Hospital Road, just next to the Diamond Mine.
Oh.
This is where we are situated, yes.
Is that strategic, though, to call it Hospital Road and you guys are a wellness hospital, basically?
Yes.
Strategic.
Yeah, so I must just next to the mine.
Oh.
So Diamond is next to us.
People of wealth. That's why you said to me off air, Uguti, you're just a notch up from the other one. I'm not going to mention.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you guys are a place of wealth. Now, let's talk about what we're here to discuss this afternoon. Anyone can take it. You guys are more than allowed to both take it. But what is mental health? We hear about this so much in our streets. What would you say mental health is?
Thank you, Luko. Mental health is a state of mental well-being that enables people to cope with their stresses of life, to realize their capabilities or abilities, to learn and also to work well, while doing that also to contribute to their communities. Meaning that with mental health, it's a broad spectrum, but here we're talking about the positive part of it as mental health.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I love that I'm talking to people that deal with this every single day, actually. Now, what are the effects of mental health, or rather mental illness, to physical health?
Okay, the effects of mental illness to physical health, most of the time you'll find that people are complaining about headaches that they cannot explain where it originated. And some will complain about... pain of a body, not only headache, physical, let's say the full body pains of no origin. That is what mental health or mental illness does to people. For instance, let's say you start worrying more. When you worry more, then you don't give your body to rest.
Yeah.
Then it affects the whole part of the body, mostly the mind, which is the brain. And when the brain is tired, every system becomes tired as well.
Okay.
Then you will find that you are fatigued. You can't work or you can't perform duties that you used to perform most of the time. And you find that you even don't eat like you used to eat most of the time. And you find that also you don't maintain relationships the way you used to maintain relationships. But again, on the physical part, we talk about when the worsening of chronic illnesses like diabetes, blood pressure, that when you experience mental illnesses, if it's not managed well, then the worsening of the diabetes comes up. The worsening of blood pressure also comes up. Then you become more of like we'll think that you are non-adherent to mm-hmm. medication while perhaps you are adherent. It's just there is another aspect that is not taken care of.
Very interesting, I must say. When you mentioned that eating part for a moment there, I was like, I had a conversation with a friend recently and she was trying to establish an issue of mine. And she said, could it be mental health, friend? Totally off notes, but I've just been struggling to eat since January this year. And for the past 2 days, I went to a function on Saturday, and I was like, Mr. Mo, Mr. Ephraim actually said to me, you're looking better, look, you're even eating. And I was eating. Yesterday, it came back to bite me. I was sick like nobody's business because I'm just not used to eating. And since January, to a point, at some point, we were like, am I pregnant? To test everything, I was okay. But I just struggle to eat. I get really nauseous. And I don't know why. It's been like that since Jan. But that's a topic for another day. So when you mentioned eating, I was like, something I need to get addressed very soon. Now, is there a difference between mental health and mental illness? And if so, what are the common disorders?
Absolutely, Luko. There is a difference between the mental health and the mental illness.
Mm.
The difference is that the mental health is an overall psychological and emotional well-being, the state okay. of positive functioning, while mental illness refers to a specific diagnosable condition, like e.g. we can say depression, anxiety, that affect the mood of a person, the thinking, therefore, and the behavior.
Because I think we always speak of it as an umbrella, like mental health, and we think it's everything.
Yes. Yes. So I also have a difference that I can differentiate so that your listeners can be able to understand the mental health and the mental illnesses. So I'll differentiate it by definition, characteristics, a scope or example.
Okay.
So the definition, as indicated before, of mental is a state of psychological well-being or social well-being, and it encompasses of emotions,
mm-hmm.
thought processes, and the ability to cope with life challenges. Whereas the mental illness, it's a wide range of mental health conditions that cause frequent stress and also interfere with the ability of the person to perform duties or function. That is the first one. And then the characteristics of mental health contributes to the feeling, thinking, and acting in ways that help you enjoy life on the mental health. And you maintain relationships, and also you become productive. Whereas in the mental illnesses, it involves specific signs and symptoms of affecting mood, the ones that affect your mood, your thinking, and your behavior, such as persistent sadness behavior, and then such as also excessive worry and disrupted thought patterns. With illness, here you will find that perhaps you have depression and you lose what we call interest in your relationship.
Okay.
So your partner start realizing, they think that you are no longer interested in me. They think of other things other than thinking perhaps mentally.
You might be going through.
Yes, you're going through things, you understand. And then coming to thinking, you become irrational. And you become forgetful as well. And
okay.
as the behavior, you become very irritable and also angry. And lastly, now, with the mental health, the scope is broad, and then that is does affect everyone with mental health. Me and you, as we talk, Luko, which affects us and can be influenced by both internal and external factors, like major life events. Let's say, for instance, you want to come to work and you find that your car in the morning is flat. Then you know you are late. Then what's going to happen? First thing, you start holding your head and say, I'm going to be late. You start stressing.
Yeah.
So that's when now you shift from the mental wellness into the mental discomfort. Then you are discomfortable. Doesn't mean that you are necessarily ill, but you can still function. Then you think positively. You say, hey, let me take a jack. I have a spare wheel. Then you start waking quickly. And then whereas in the illness, then you find that there is depression, anxiety disorders, bipolar disorders, schizophrenia, and eating disorders. In eating disorder, we have bulimia nervosa and anorexia nervosa. Thank you for that. So with bulimia, you binge eat. And then with anorexia, you don't have appetite at all. You don't eat at all.
Sure. Yes. When my twin brother suggested that one day when I told him about this eating thing, and he's like, I'm worried it might turn into anorexia in the long run and stuff. I was like, oh. So I said to him, but isn't anorexia, you know, the pictures we had of anorexia when you would watch about Dr. Phil, and we're thinking of a child that eats but goes and throws that food up. And he says, no. When you don't eat, eventually it might progress to that. So like, yes. It's a bit scary. So that's why I was glad. I thought, oh, I'm getting there slowly but surely. But here's another one. What are predisposing factors of mental illness?
Okay. Thank you, Luca. Predisposing factors, most of them, you find that they're genetic and they're biological. Genetic, that means you inherit this from your parents. And biological, it can be the imbalances of the neurotransmitters in your brain.
Okay.
So then that cause you to become mentally disabled or you experience mental illnesses. Mm. And then sometimes you find it's environmental factors where you are poverty stricken places, the villages and all. So with that poverty, you don't have enough nutrients and all the stuff.
Then,
yes. And also when you go to school, you find that you are performing less as a child other than other children. Then it becomes a problem. You think that perhaps you are not bright enough like other children, then it affects the child in that way. And you also have what we call the childhood traumas or traumas in general as well. They also, those are predisposing factors of mental illness. When you have trauma, then you don't deal about it, then in the near future it will catch up with you. Most of the time things happen, then we believe that, oh, okay, nah, we laugh it off. But 5 years later, when somebody probes about it, then you realize, I did not deal with this.
Sure.
So those are the predisposing factors of mental illnesses.
The rural girl in me is trying to play scenarios, you know, of those children, where I come from, in Ngqabane, who are not exposed to these things, who may also otherwise be termed as slow learners, when chances are they aren't necessarily slow learning. And I think it happens a lot. My mom actually was a teacher. She's a retired teacher. And one of the things she did when she went into our village to teach there was try also and see the slow learners and whatnot and try get them assistance and stuff. And that was something that had never actually been done in our village before. She got summoned to special schools, which was a first of its kind. But now that you're speaking about it, I'm thinking there were times where we knew that that particular child was just moved to the next grade. They were just moved to the next grade. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking some of them probably just needed more mental health attention, actually.
Sure, because when we are talking about childhood traumas, there's something that we called trauma-informed approaches. Once a child is being exposed to trauma and a trauma is not being dealt with accordingly, Luko, this is when you would see a child not coping at school.
Mm.
This is where they are spending most of their time. They are not coping at school, they are not well, and you would find that the teachers and also the primary caregivers, they are not aware.
Yeah.
And sometimes all that they need is counseling, to talk to someone so that we can tell if this is a child that must be moved to the next grade or this child needs counseling. So there's something that I'm also doing. I'm also researching about child sexual abuse cases. This is where you would see that children that are being abused, you'd find that they are not coping at school because there's just a lot and a lot of trauma that they are being exposed to. When it comes to trauma, we really need to make sure that kids are being attended to so that we can deal with the childhood traumas that my colleague was speaking about, and later in the adulthood we don't have to deal with the childhood traumas. However, we are just continuing teaching you how to live and just moving on rather than finding yourself having to go back to deal with the sexual trauma, to deal with everything that happened in the past.
Sure. Okay, you guys are really getting me thinking, I must say, because these are things that are really hardly ever spoken about where I come from, actually. So I'm like, what can be done? Now, why is it important to seek mental health assistance early? And what are the risks of delaying? And I think this speaks more also to what we just had a conversation about.
Yes, early intervention is very, very important, as Gezani has already said. Many mental health conditions, if they are not being treated, they can worsen. They can also cause things like your sugar diabetes, things like your high blood pressure, and you end up not coping well. You know, stress weakens your immune system, Luko. It weakens your immune system to an extent that there's opportunistic diseases will just jump in to say, okay, you are not well, and you end up having your high blood pressure, your sugar diabetes, and all these other diseases. So it's very, very important for you to receive help, to get help early. Remember what Gezani spoke about. When we are speaking about mental health, we are basically speaking about your thoughts. It all starts in your thoughts. Then it goes to your emotions. And then later we see a behavior. Imagine if now you can raise your hand now while it's still in your thoughts to say, I need help. I am not okay, I'm having negative thoughts. Then before it even gets to your emotions and your behavior, the last thing that we see with mental health or mental illnesses is the behavior, which is the last thing that we see, but it does not start there. I'll just give an example. You are not sleeping at night, you are thinking a lot. In the morning you wake up, you are irritable, you are sad, you take your car, you pass the robot, the behavior. You did not sleep. You are not okay. And you're also going to put other people's life at risk.
It endangers your life.
So the last thing that we see is that man taking a gun, taking his life, taking his wife's lives. But it does not start there. It goes to your emotions. It goes to your thoughts. That's why with mental health, they would say, if you tell me how you feel, if you tell me how you feel, what you are thinking, I would probably predict how you would behave.
Listen, let's take a little break. I'll be right back with you, and we're having more of this conversation. If you've just tuned in, I am not alone. This afternoon, I'm speaking to Aus Priska and Butgezani from Clinics Cullen and Wellness Hospital. So do stick around for more of this conversation. First, before we take a breather, let's have a look at what's happening in our roads this afternoon.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
That's Rema Worship and Never Stop Chasing brings us down to 22 minutes to 5 o'clock. And I'm not flying solo this hour once again. Still sitting in studio with Priska Moloyesi, as well as Gezani Baloyi, who are coming from Clinics Cullen and Wellness Hospital this afternoon. And we're talking mental health. Now, earlier on, before we went on our break, one of the things that we were talking about was the importance of seeking mental health, right? All right, let me get you up there. You there?
Yes.
Yeah, we are here.
Okay. All right. So I just want to bring Bob Gezani in there because he's ad-libbing something there. We're still talking about that. Bob Gezani, let me bring you back in right in here. Yep. Welcome back.
Thank you, Luko. I realize there's when do you seek mental health assistance? You know, most of the time, we see these signs early. or what happens to us or what happens to our beloved ones. But we tend to just put a blind eye, or we say, no, we used to this person, it's like this. Or perhaps we say, no, maybe he just has a bad day. But then the more it builds up, the more the brain thinks that, no, this is the behavior, this is the trait, this is how
you normalize it.
Then when it's late, then we are saying, oh, but what? Why did he do that? But he was fine, it was like that. As long as you see an erratic behavior that is not normal from the person that, or your beloved one, or your colleague, then if it's possible, then you can refer them to, we have the she committees in the workplaces, I think.
Okay.
Anonymously so.
Oh.
Yeah, because isn't it the mental health is a very sensitive thing. So, yeah, those are the things. We shouldn't say no. We'll see it as time goes by. As you see it, you act right there and you find help, because the sooner we pick it up, the better. And unless we wait, it becomes very difficult to treat.
I don't know whether it's because we generally stigmatize mental health and mental illnesses, because also, you know, I was having a conversation with my twin brother one time, and we were talking about someone, and he says, look, the most fair thing to do would be that this person seeks help, because they lie so much. You know, one of those people that lie. And I said to him, we think it's just because it's offensive, we say they're lying and we leave it there. But what is a pathological liar? Is it not? Is that not some form of illness? Because there are people that actually lie, not because, hey, I just, you know, gave a lie and it passed, but because it's part of who it has become them. And sometimes you're like, there's no particular reason for this. And I said to him, it gets to a point where it's no longer offensive. It's worrying. Did you guys ever deal with that type of thing, or is that just, you know, stories that we speak about like this? Or do you get those people that are like, hey, they'll tell a lie and it's gotten to a point where it's actually a sickness?
Thank you, Luko. Yeah. You know, we do have such people. You know, that's why we say mental health is a spectrum. It's a broad concept. So with the people that lie, sometimes they are compensating. They're compensating to something that they are lacking. Perhaps you're asking this person, oh, I heard you were working and so and so. And that person perhaps has been dismissed because of being unfaithful or untrustworthy to that company.
Yeah.
Then do you think they will tell you what happened? They'll say, no, yeah, I'm working there. I've been promoted.
Sure.
So now you know that they're promoted. Then they must keep that lie. As they keep that lie, they start believing that. But when reality strikes, then that way they're going to feel it. That now I've been lying this much, then the shame and everything, when everybody else gets the truth, then it affects them mentally.
Yeah.
Then they'll start to isolate, you know.
True.
They'll isolate themselves because now they are afraid of being asked the question that he no longer wants to lie anymore.
Yeah.
They want to come out and just say, no, I've lost my job for a long time ago.
Sure.
So it's very important to be vigilant when things change, whether a thought content change, the behavior change, the emotional well-being changes. It's very important to see, to pay attention.
Yeah.
And it's better to treat this, because most of our children are getting affected by this more. And if we leave it as young as they are, it's going to be very difficult for them as they become young adults and adults. They
very interesting.
Work, they won't maintain relationships. They will jump from work to another. And also relationship, they will have multiple partners because now they can't maintain. They think, like that. So we better brush it and clean it while they're still young. In my language, in Sepedi, okay, I'm Tsonga, but in Sepedi they say, Lekobya, lesalimitsi.
The kocha lise mans.
Yes.
You bend it while it's still wet, basically. That's the direct translation. And if you're wondering what that is about, the analogy is that you need to deal with a stick while it's still brittle and you can actually bend it down instead of allowing it to go higher and more harder.
And when Gazan is speaking about mental health being a wide spectrum, remember we have different disorders. We have mood disorders. This is when we are talking about your depression, which are more common. They are more common. We know them, anxiety and other things. However, we have personality disorders.
Yeah. And is it the same with multiple personality? There's that one as well.
Yes, and as well as your borderline, your narcissistic personality disorder. There are many. You would find that this person is not showing any signs of, they are just normal like me and you. However, they have borderline. They can't keep relationships. Some they lie. Some they move from one relationship. Some they are narcissistic. We live with them. We see them. We work with them. So when we are talking about mental health being a wide spectrum, we have different types of disorders or mental illnesses, like your neurocognitive disorders. We see it mostly in older people when they are having dementia, when they are having all these disorders. They are still part of mental illnesses. However, they are just being categorized like that.
Oh, sure. Very interesting. And I like what you said, because sometimes I could be having that as well. And that's why I'm saying we need to get to a point where we destigmatize such illnesses, because anybody and anyone can have them.
Exactly.
I always jokingly say, when somebody says, let's say, you're bitter, like if you're a single parent, then say you're bitter, you know, the baby daddy left you and whatnot. And I'm like, you think that is supposed to be offensive? Mm. But the real question you should be asking, are they not justified to be bitter? What happened in their lives? How about you then help them overcome the bitterness instead of using that line to offend them? Because oftentimes it's not to help you. It's just to offend you and break you down. So, interesting, I must say. Now, tell me, what are the warning signs for anxiety and depression?
Okay, for anxiety, it's constant worry. You are always worried. You are anxious.
Yeah.
Someone bangs the door, you are just anxious. You are always worried about something.
Yeah.
And with depression, as you are sad most of the time. You don't want to leave. There's just that still small voice that says to you, take your life.
Sure.
You are useless. There's no hope for you. You are not sleeping. You are not eating right. You feel unworthy, Luko. You are like, you know what? There's no life.
Let the walls close down on me.
Then you know you are not okay. You need help. That's depression. You are sad most of the time. You are sad. That's when you know you are not well. You need mental health support.
Sure. I love that you also outlined ones of anxiety, because we always think, it's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm just jumpy because, hey, things are happening around me. But it can get a lot. You don't want to live like that, actually.
Sure.
Now, tell me, here's another one. How do cultural beliefs shape the way we view mental health?
Okay.
This is a real one.
This is a real one. I think it also takes us back to stigma. So I'm going to try to answer it and go back to stigma.
Yeah.
So the cultural belief, it contributes to the prevalence of mental health.
Okay.
Name of mental disorders, your belief. Because most people, once they start having all these symptoms, is not sleeping, sleepwalking, not eating well, then they start to go back and say, okay, maybe I was bewitched.
Yeah.
Then culture start coming in to say, okay, it's because you are young. This is more common in our family around this age. This is what we are suffering from and all that. And you end up not seeking mental health support because of your belief. And we have seen post-COVID that as Black people, we have come to a point where we are somehow, but we are not there yet, Luko, but we are trying to normalize mental health. We have seen it post-COVID that, okay, mental health is real.
I
always say to people, everyone has a mental health, but not everyone has a mental illness. We all have mental health.
True.
So post-COVID, we have seen that we are coming all right, as Black people, people of South Africa. We are coming all right. We are trying to understand that mental health is very, very important and is not, you cannot say it's being experienced by certain race.
Yep.
It's not for the whites, for the Black, for the Indians. It's for everyone.
Yeah,
everyone has a mental health. And by us, yeah, everyone has a mental health. And as a result, we end up stigmatizing it. October, it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Oh.
Actually, on the 10th of October, we would be celebrating a Mental Health Day. This is us as Clinics Cullinan Wellness Hospital. We are going around teaching people, bringing awareness about mental health.
Sure.
Like I said, post-COVID, things are getting better, but I believe we can do better.
We can be at a better place,
We can do to a point whereby people can say, I need help. I am not coping. I am not well with this and that, and it's okay. Another myth that people would say, they will say mental illness is a sign of weakness. You are weak. You have depression. You are weak. Pray about it.
Sure.
Pray about it. Go to church. It will go away.
Sure.
And that's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah. It's very dangerous. Just to add on my colleague here. As a man, we can say men don't seek professional help when they are sick, in general. Not only through mental health, but in general. And mostly, most men are quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially mental health. We can see women are vocal.
Yeah.
By nature. But culture now is exerting pressure on males, especially African culture.
Yeah.
They say, I'm going to go back again in Spedi, ne? You will translate it.
I hope I'll understand.
Yeah. It says, Monna kinku lela ting.
Ndo dikalela ngaphakathi.
Yebo.
A man cries internally. Sure. And
which is the analogy about it, it's very wrong. They are taking it literally. They don't say, as a man, you don't have to voice out.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, in the olden days, we used to have what we have, choro. I don't know in English, where there is men that
men's sit dialogue.
Around. Yeah, men's dialogue. Oh. They sit around and they discuss problems that affect men, married men mostly.
Okay.
Then they talk about that, but that thing has faded away. It's like every man for its own, his own self.
Sure.
So men should come together and start speaking about these prevalences, because they are happening.
Yep.
And that's why, like my colleague has spoken before, that you find that men kill themselves, they also kill their children, and they kill their wives, they kill the significant other. It's because they don't talk.
The pressure gets too much.
Yeah, they keep it to themselves. Until you see that this one is busting now. He's doing irrational things. So it is important to, even if you can't speak to your significant other, just go to a clinic. You can come to our hospital where the wellness, if you are around, if you are able to come, that's where you can find help. You speak about it. Or you can also call. There's a number that we're going to issue out. You can call and seek a professional help. And we'll take it from there.
But tell me, guys, how can I then recognize when I need mental support? How do people recognize when they need mental support?
Okay, you know yourself, right? You know yourself. Once your routine starts changing, you are no longer doing the things the same way that you used to do. The activities that you used to enjoy, you are no longer enjoying them.
Yeah.
In the morning, you used to listen to Radio Pulpit around 6. All of a sudden, you just want to listen to your thoughts.
Sure.
You don't listen to the radio. You switch it off so that you, for an hour while you're driving, you just want to listen to your thoughts and your thoughts only. And your thoughts are just saying something else to you.
Yeah.
Isolation, not sleeping at night. Most people, they are also doing substance abuse. Substance abuse is not only drugs.
Yeah.
You can abuse grandpa. Because you are taking it so that even if you are not having headache, you are just taking it so that it can numb, so that it can drag you, so that you can sleep. Some can even sleep without drinking alcohol. Some, they even take allergics.
Sure.
Yes, some take
allergics. And you think it's harmless because it's a medicine, but it can't.
And it's normal. Some even keep still pain in their back.
Sure.
And then around 5, they start taking 2 or 3. Then you know you are not okay.
I have a friend who would take like 5 still pains, and she will argue it with you. When I'm like, I bought you, and she's no. I mean, I never know, but 2 pills. I'm like, dude, 5 is a lot. She says, hey, I try even 4. She'll take 4 or 5 painkillers. Yeah.
Let me chip in with that. Mm. Still pain is a controlled drug. That's the first thing that they should understand.
Mm.
And it's regulated. Mm. You don't get it more than 7 days straight.
Mm.
So if you are self-medicating with still pain, then you are creating more problems for yourself.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have problem with your kidneys. Sure. You're going to have problem with your liver because it's the one that metabolizes this chemical.
Mm. Mm.
Imagine if you're taking 5-3 times. Sure. That's a lot. You are overdosing yourself. Then soon you'll be crying and saying, I have a pain on my lower back. So now then it's another medical cost. You see, it's another problem on top of another problem.
Mm-hmm.
So self-medication, it's not okay.
My
colleague have said, when you see that this changes, you need to speak to someone.
Speak
to somebody. And sometimes it's not changes on yourself, but changes on your significant other.
Yeah.
You see that your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your wife is no longer behaving the same you think them, the way you think they used to. And they're becoming violent. It can be not physically violent, but verbally violent.
Yeah.
And you become that they are no longer respecting you. Something is wrong. You need to speak up so that we can deal with this, or you can deal with it while it's still illegally demands, while it's still at the bottom, so that it's solvable. Unless it can become so much heavy, then it's going to be a problem.
Sure. Okay, guys, we are running a bit of time, but I need to ask this. How does stigma affect people's willingness to seek mental health support?
Okay, I'm going back to the stigma. Like I said, there's a lot of myth, and as a result, you would find that people don't stand up and say, I need help.
Yeah.
Because they are scared that people would say something else.
Yeah.
We were talking offline that when people, we are saying mental health, people are thinking about vascopies.
I heard it in Gauteng vascopies. Yeah. I had never known about it because of that. Yeah. Exactly.
In the community, once you say, I am not well, I have depression,
they start,
yes. No, they even start calling you names. They would start calling you vascopies. And then they would now socially isolate you from social activities that happens in the township, in the community, because you are having a depression. You can't think straight. We can't associate ourselves with you. If you were a leader in the community, once they realize that you were once admitted for depression or anxiety, then they start
doubting you.
Yeah, they start doubting you that you are not well. There are words, I will not use them, that they would use. Because they just want to make you feel small, that you know what, you are not okay mentally. Another thing that we usually say, you would find that people say, that one is admitted because they want attention.
Yeah.
So much money for attention.
Sometimes it's like that. And just to add on what my colleague said, sometimes you find that you don't start lying them because you think they are not capable. You are giving that special treatment because you know that they are unwell. And that's when you should give them the duties, but light duties, not the ones that they will overwhelm them, then they will relapse.
Yeah.
So you have to just be very careful, but do not discriminate. Give them, let them be part of it. Then they will say, and as a person who's affected, they should also be able to say, no, this one I cannot do.
Yeah.
They mustn't want to try hard to impress others.
True. Okay, guys, we have less than 2 minutes, but I need to ask this. Where is Clinics Cullen and Wellness Hospital situated? And also, what are the services that you guys offer?
Okay, we are situated at No. 1 Hospital Road, Pretoria East in Cullinan. We are just next to the mine. We have a very beautiful scenery. It's very therapeutic. We are far from everything. However, we have transport that takes the patients from CBD, from Witbank, from Bronkhorstspruit. Remember, I said as Clinics Cullinan Wellness Hospital, we are about mental health. So we make sure that we go to the communities, we take you there, and we take you to the hospital to and fro. So like I said, our environment, it's very therapeutic, Luko. It's very nice. I am also doing some activities in our hospital. At Clinics Cullinan, we have something very special, Luko, in just 30 seconds.
Okay.
Our program, it's very practical. We are teaching you to take care of yourself, and we are doing it practically.
Okay.
So self-care, we are talking about physical, social, emotional, spiritual, everything. So with physical, we make sure that every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you go out for a walk.
Okay.
We are saying to our patients, you don't have to spend money to take care of yourself. So we are taking them for a walk for 5 kilometers. When they come back, they come to a very beautiful environment where our MDT, multidisciplinary team, is there. The psychiatrist, the social workers, the OT, the psychologist, they do individual sessions one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
If you have family problems, social workers are there. If you need an OT, the occupational therapist is also there. We also have a very interesting program, the group program. This is where our patient, we also do skills transfer. So we teach you things. If you come there, you have issues with your finances, we teach you how to budget. We teach you how to do gardening. We teach you how to do
things.
That's
why your gardens are always nice.
Yes. And a vegetable garden again. So we teach you all these skills so that when you go home, you cope better.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of testimonies from our patients. They send us messages to say, I am well. And they continue to tell others about clinics, Kalinan Wellness Hospital, because we are just special.
Aww.
You never come to us and you come back the same. We are teaching you how to take care of yourself practically, so without spending a lot of money.
Today I was clearing up a couple of things. I moved houses last week and I spotted something my bestie made for me when she went to a mental health institution. And that's where I keep all my jewelry. So when I took it today, I was like, I'm not throwing this away.
We make key holders, bath salt, and everything. But we make sure that we are teaching you to take care of yourself.
Guys, thank you so much. It's time for the news. Anything else you'd like to
Our
add?
Our number is 012-133-0400.
Again?
012-133-0400.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we have a website. Our website is www.clinics.co.za. We are also on Instagram. Check us, Clinics Health Group, Facebook, Clinics Health Group. Like our page. And hope to see you in Kalinan.
Even LinkedIn, yeah?
Even LinkedIn. LinkedIn, yeah. You guys are all over. Thank you so much, guys, and have a lovely day further.
Thank you,
Luko. Thank you very much, and thank you to our listeners.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in for the latest news in the taxi industry with Solim Caesar, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on Radio Pulpit 657 a.m.
You and 657 a.m. and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.